The gospel reading for this third Sunday in Advent is the story of Gabriel's visit to Mary from Luke 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the servant of the Lord," Mary said. "Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel left her.
Having just sung those words, "My soul in stillness waits," I think that that depicts those words for me too. My soul in stillness waits. And Mary probably didn't even know she was waiting or what she was waiting for. Back to her story in a moment. I went to a talk many years ago on prayer. And the woman who was speaking said, "You know, I often hear people say, I'm so busy, I just don't think about sitting down and praying." And she said, "It's, yes, I feel the same way. So that's why I've streamlined it to three words: help, thanks, and yes." And she said, "I know God pretty much knows what I'm talking about if I utter any of those three prayers." And I think the two are pretty obvious in the beginning. Thanks. Meister Eckhart, who was a Christian mystic and a German theologian living in the 12 and 1300s, said, "If the only prayer you ever say is thanks, it is sufficient." I would guess most of my prayers, and perhaps yours as well, are more of the help kind of prayers. Help me, or help this person, or help our world, help God. And we usually go into a great explanation when we're asking them, and sometimes maybe God just needs to hear us say help, and God will know. The prayer of yes is something more complicated and deeper, though, I think. What is set upon our plate today, whether by God or by happenstance, we look at that and we will not deny it or run from it in fear or dismiss it without consideration or accept it without consideration. We are called to ponder and discern and listen, to receive it and embrace it and move with it. Even if our eventual answer is no. But the yes is to receive it. Here is what's on my plate today. Well, Gabriel put a giant heap on Mary's plate, didn't he? He didn't really ask a yes or no question. He simply told Mary what God's plan was. I can see why he made it to Archangel. Gabriel's a pro. He offered Mary reassurance. You know, you are in God's favor. Assured her of God's feelings for her, God's presence with her. He told her, don't be afraid. Everything's okay. He gave Mary time to take it all in. And he let her ask questions. Then he validated this miracle by telling her about a similar miracle, the unexpected and improbable pregnancy of Elizabeth. So he delivered this well. I wonder how long it took Mary to process this before responding to him. Was her head swimming? What feeling was in her gut, in her heart? Did she want to go get her mom? She was only, they think, 12 to 14 years old. She was a girl. Did she consider the danger that she could be put in because an unmarried woman who was pregnant could be stoned to death for that sin? Did she even know that? I'd like to read you another version of this story by the author, Elizabeth Berg, who wrote the book The Handmaid and the Carpenter. And she employed Jewish midrash, which is something when we engage with, and particularly with the Hebrew scriptures, expanding the text, bridging gaps, filling in little details, the what if it went this way, applying it to life. So that's what she was doing when she wrote this version of Mary's story. As Anne busied herself near the oven, Mary lay still, comforted by the rich golden light that had begun to stream into the house through the windows high up on the walls, by the rhythmic sounds of food preparation. Why had she not seen the redemption and beauty in such tasks before now? She would devote herself to keeping a home and caring for children, and she would honor Joseph, who cared for her so well. Mary closed her eyes and held back more tears, though these tears were of a different kind. And then she heard a low voice saying, "Hail Mary, the Lord is with you. You are blessed among women." She sat up and clutched the top of her tunic. She wanted to call out to her mother, who had moved to the courtyard, but found she could make no sound. Before her was a towering presence, a man, an angel. From behind him came an illumination so intense, Mary could not look directly at him. In addition to a terror that caused her to tremble and fight for her breath was a rapturous wonder, a great joy unlike anything she had ever experienced. She felt awakened from a deep sleep, profoundly known, and she felt eerily suspended yet anchored in a place she had longed for since birth. She stared out unblinkingly towards the presence, rapt. All the world seemed to have still to accommodate this moment. "Do not be afraid," the angel said. "You have found great favor with God. Now you have conceived in your womb and will bear a son." But these words, what was he saying? Mary found her voice then and spoke most strongly. "How can this be? I have known no man." The angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come unto you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the one born unto you will be the Son of God, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary lay her hand over her throat. Now her voice was barely a whisper. "It is not possible." "With God, all things are possible," said the angel. "Behold, your cousin Elizabeth was barren, but she has conceived a child and is now in her sixth month. I bid you go to Judea and where you will see her for yourself. I shall, Mary said, and she meant with her words to communicate her disbelief, her intention to go to Judea to disprove the angel's words. But at that moment, her spirit lifted and her heart opened, and there came to her a great sense of relief. And with it came irrefutable knowledge. She understood that what the angel had told her was true, even as the reddening sky outside her window was true. As such, it was not hers to accept or reject. It was a miracle given her by God, told to her by his messenger. She lay her hands in her lap. "I am the handmaid of the Lord," she said. "Let it be with me according to your word." The part in this story that I was going to read, and only this part at first, was she understood that what the angel had told her was true. That when we are faced with this prayer of yes at looking what has been placed on our plate, it can be very difficult to know what to do sometimes. And there was something in her that gave her peace, that told her, this is true, this is God's, this is from God. It's okay for me to give into this. There is a poem I found by a priest and poet in the UK, Malcolm Gwiet, called The Annunciation. We see so little stayed on surfaces. We calculate the outsides of all things, preoccupied with our own purposes. We miss the shimmer of the angels' wings. They coruscate around us in their joy. A swirl of wheels and eyes and wings unfurled. They guard the good we purpose to destroy. A hidden blaze of glory in God's world. But on this day, a young girl stopped to see with open eyes and heart. She heard the voice, the promise of God's glory yet to be. And as time stood still for her to make a choice, Gabriel knelt and not a feather stirred. The word himself was waiting on her word. The stillness of Gabriel, the stillness of the hosts of angels around them, you can almost hear them holding their collective breaths. When Mary said, "Let it be done to me," she was giving her yes to that. And she could have said, and when I imagine myself in that situation, I sort of feel like I would go, "No, please, no, don't tell God no." She could have said to Gabriel, "No, but tell God thanks for asking. Thanks for thinking of me." We know that God gives us the free will, the gift of free will. Mary could have said no. She could have declined that. The truth of Gabriel's words touched her core, and we know her to be very faithful. God has a way of always choosing the most humble, simple, and most faithful people to carry out and fulfill our story of salvation history. And accepting that she is God's servant, she steeped herself in trust and hope and said, "Let it be." One of my favorite stories comes from John Shea, a theologian from Chicago, and he also talks a great deal about the angels from this story, and says that when Mary says yes to Gabriel, there's an uproar of rejoicing and cheers of alleluias from the angels, because her yes made all the difference. So now I ask the question, how does this apply to me? How does this story apply to us? What is God putting on our plate today? It could be an invitation. It could be suffering. It could be some unexpected and perhaps unwelcome news. It could be just an ongoing dread that we're feeling about things. How do we take what's on that plate and receive it and listen and embrace it and not run from it and not dismiss it? While Pastor Brad was reading the gospel, I was sitting in that spot, and I can still see the sun was shining only on me. And I was wondering, what the heck is this all about? It kind of scared me, I have to say. Now it will give me a lot to think about. Because I have an invitation on my plate that I am pondering and discerning about. And I don't like that kind of stuff. And Mary might have said that too, like, I don't like this kind of stuff, angels appearing to me. I don't have an answer for you, how this applies to you, but I give you that invitation to think about what's on my plate today. Maybe ask yourself that question every day, or when something comes at you, to pause and say, what's here? Let me look at it really good. Let me ask some questions. Let me talk to God about it. Maybe write about it, pray about it. And if you find that sense of truth in your core and a sense of peace about it, then you can say, let it be unto me. I am your faithful servant.